The News and Talk of West Texas presents Isidro Gutierrez and the Did You Know Show on News Talk 790 KFYO. Isidro is a former Lubbock County Commissioner, and he brings a unique Hispanic conservative viewpoint to KFYO. Phone lines are open at 770-5790. Now, here's Isidro Gutierrez.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Sunday, everybody. This is Isidro Gutierrez with a unique conservative perspective for all of West Texas. This is KFYO, and we do indeed reach the whole of West Texas with this station. Today, we have a guest on the line with us, Tom Paukan. He is a candidate for governor of the state of Texas. And if you are like I am, you love the state of Texas. You love West Texas. And there's nothing more important to us out here at West Texas than a candidate who is going to represent our values. And I'm going to say hello to Tom Paukan and welcome him and tell him this to begin the interview. Tom, the number one resource in West Texas are the people of West Texas. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
You're right about that. I've spent a lot of time in the Lubbock area and have business interest in Amarillo, and it's a great part of the state, West Texas and the Panhandle.
We're very happy to have you with us this afternoon. We want you to tell us about your candidacy, what it is that you want to do for West Texas. And in stating that the number one resource out here in West Texas are the people, then that means that we want our resource to be prosperous. We want our resources to do really well in life and to be able to have a home and have a family and to have a good job. And so you as a governor would be able to help the people of West Texas through your policies and through programs and through legislation and through your administration. So tell us about your candidacy, Mr. Paukan. What is it that you want to do for the people of West Texas as governor?
Well, let me tell you something that I've done very recently, not just talked about. I recently stepped down from the Texas Workforce Commission. I was chairman of that. Governor Perry asked me to come in and chair the Texas Workforce Commission. I came aboard in 2008 and stepped down from the commission earlier this year and decided to run for governor. But one of my concerns when I came back into government, and I'd been in the private sector, in business, since leaving the Reagan administration, where I headed a federal agency for President Reagan. But I got back into government, and I saw an education policy, kind of a one-size-fits-all, top-down, a neglect, almost a denigration of the value of vocational education. And I also saw a situation in which, I'm one of those conservatives who believes in local control of education, and yet it was kind of a top-down, test-driven, the TOS test and the TOCS test and the STAR test, and pushing everybody to go to a four-year university. And meanwhile, we were neglecting the 50% plus of the kids who aren't going to necessarily go to a four-year university and would benefit from opportunities for vocational and technical education, which they once had in this state. And we were almost neglecting, we were neglecting and almost denigrating the value of vocational education. So I led an effort and worked with a coalition to get legislation passed, which will really do three things. Number one, allow for more opportunities for young people who may be oriented towards a career to move in that direction, a kind of a multiple pathway approach to a high school diploma. Those interested in college preparatory approach with an emphasis on math science could do that, or college preparatory approach with an emphasis on the humanities and fine arts could move in that direction, or those who are interested in getting an industry-certified credential or license by the time they get out of high school could be career-ready. And so we just passed legislation, it's called House Bill 5, to accomplish that, and also it begins to reduce the number of these STAR tests and focuses more on real learning rather than this kind of multiple-choice test learning, which we've got so obsessed with in recent years. And finally, it will begin to allow for a return to local control of education, which I want to champion as governor. So I want to work with the local educators in trying to improve public education and also put in place a system that's really allows young people to succeed in life and recognize that you know, you can't put everybody in one little box. That kids have different talents and interests. I mean, we have seven kids ourselves, and I'll tell you, they're all different, and many of them have college degrees, but one of my younger children, my younger son, didn't much care for sitting in a classroom. My wife got him through high school. He went to college, didn't care for that, but he was very bright and loved to work on automobiles and got into auto finances, doing very well, very successful. So college per se is not an automatic ticket to success, and we've just got to recognize that kids have different interests, and let's adapt our education for the needs of the area. I mean, what's of concern in the Lubbock area, for example, is sure not the same as in Beaumont, Texas. And let's recognize that and not try to dictate everything from either Washington, D.C. or Austin, Texas.
Great. Well, I'm going to tell you that out here in West Texas, education is one of the things that the people in this area value very much. And we're interested in preparing our young people to be able to have careers in agriculture. Agriculture is big around here, as you know.
Right.
Energy, oil, wind power. We are very interested in, of course, cattle. And when we talk about agriculture, cattle, and energy, we're talking about water as well. So how does your education bill, H-Bill 5, help the people of West Texas to prosper in these areas of agriculture, cattle, and wind and energy?
In fact, I just spoke to the ag teachers of the state of Texas, and really agribusiness and agriculture, you've got a graying workforce there and a shortage of people going into the agricultural field, a real need to encourage opportunities for young people to see the potential in agriculture. And I think as governor, I would like to work with groups in encouraging more young people to consider that as a career choice. Again, we've just sort of pushed everybody to go to a university and move into areas where really, the opportunities aren't that great. I give you an example. I mean, you take the skilled trades. Average age of a welder is 55, of a plumber, 56.
Now people should really be concerned about that. You know, that also applies to farmers, average age of farmers as well.
It's very high, and the opportunities are there. So we've got to encourage agriculture in our state. And also, I mean, there are tremendous jobs in the energy field with all the explosion in in fact, last year in Texas alone, over 40% of the oil wells drilled in the United States were drilled in our state. But there's a huge shortage of skilled workers. For example, students coming out of the Kraft Training Center in Corpus Christi, Texas, with a high school degree but a welding certificate, can start at $1,700 a week in the Eagleford Shale. I mean, great opportunities. I spoke to a group of young Republicans last night in Austin, and I was talking about the importance of encouraging opportunities for vocational and technical education. And I tell you, time and time again that evening afterwards, young people would come up and say, yes, you know, our company, people can make six figures if they have technical expertise. So I think that's what we've got to encourage, and I know you're doing some good things in the Lubbock area and with your community colleges, but we've got to encourage more opportunities for career and technical education, particularly in the areas where there is a strong demand, such as agriculture. In fact, we've got a shortage of ag teachers in our state, so we've got to provide some incentives to encourage that to happen, or at least provide more opportunities for people to go into agriculture.
When you talk about in the way that you've done right now, you're talking about jobs. You're talking about people being able to buy a home,
right.
People being able to educate their kids, people being able to have health insurance, people being able to live and realize the American dream. So what you're saying is that you are going to put really high priority on technical training, prepare people for industrial careers, be the education governor. Essentially, this is what you're saying, right?
Well, you're right, and your point about the opportunities. For example, someone who goes to Texas State Technical College, and you've got one of their institutions in the Sweetwater area.
It's a great school, too, by the way, a great school.
I know it. They have campuses around the state and do a terrific job. But someone coming out of their WACO program, engineering-related technology in instrumentation can start in the petrochemical industry with a two-year technical degree at $68,000 a year.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got people moving around in their seats right now. Mr. Polkin, because this is a radio station, we're going to take a short break and pay the bills, but we'll be right back, and we're going to ask you more about your candidacy for governor of the state of Texas. We'll be right back. Alrighty, this is Isidro Gutierrez, and we're back from the break, and we have a very special guest on the line with us today, a candidate for the governor of the state of Texas, Mr. Tom Polkin. And Mr. Polkin, our number one resource out here at West Texas are the people, and the number one trait, I would say, about the people of West Texas is common sense. They're common sense, and they like common sense talk about politics. So we're going to ask you, sir, about the campaign. So you, are there any other candidates that are running for governor besides yourself in the Republican primary?
Greg Abbott, the current attorney general.
Okay, so it's going to be you and Greg Abbott on the ballot, and there are right now no Democrat opponents that have indicated
well,
that are going to
be. I think, you know, Wendy Davis may be a candidate. She says she's going to announce by Labor Day. Her claim to fame is she supports late-term abortions, and that's how she became a national figure. It's a rather dubious distinction, in my estimation. And I was pro-life before it was in fashion, and I believe that we have to respect the life of the unborn and protect the innocent. And so I'm very supportive of the pro-life position and the pro-life cause, and I look forward to debates with her on this issue, because that is to me one of the critical issues of our culture. I mean, how do you call yourself a Christian civilization when you take so many innocent human lives over decades, as we've done since the Roe v. Wade decision? And we have got to get back to the respect for all life, beginning with the innocent human life of the unborn.
Well, I think that out here in West Texas, folks out here have a great deal of respect for life and very little respect for those who do not respect life. And so I can assure you with great confidence that what you have just said appeals to the vast majority of the people out here at West Texas. So I want to thank you very much for that statement right there from my heart. I want to say thank you to you for what you have just articulating that position.
Well, when I ran for party chairman, this was in 1994, and there was a real debate as to which direction the Republican Party should go in this state, and I was very strong in favor of the pro-life position, and fortunately we have prevailed, and our party stands for life, but you've got to do it in your heart. You can't just sort of read the words or say things because that's supposedly the position of the Republican Party. And I worked for a man by the name of Ronald Reagan as president who truly had a conversion of heart on that issue and became strongly pro-life. And we advanced the pro-life cause and did what we could to save lives and allow for lives to be born rather than children to be aborted.
I think that we're definitely headed down the right path in Texas on this particular issue with Senate Bill. Was it still Senate Bill 5 that was eventually passed?
Right, it was passed, okay, and I'm glad to see that it was passed.
Wonderful. You know, Mr. Polkin, we have other issues that along this line that are very important to the people out here at West Texas. One of them, for example, is the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the right of individuals to bear arms. When I was very little, maybe 9 years old, I received my first .22 caliber rifle, and I did like every other 9-year-old kid did. I went out and fired at targets and shot rabbits, and we didn't just kill rabbits. We would use them as food and things of that nature. So gun ownership out here in West Texas is important to the people. It's a tradition that has been with ever since I can remember. So you will protect our Second Amendment rights as governor, will you not?
Oh, absolutely. I've always been strongly Second Amendment, and really it's not just about guns. I mean, it was written in by our founding fathers to protect the citizenry against the potential of an oppressive government. And as government gets bigger and bigger, I mean, what happens if something with the most liberal regime in history in power in the Obama administration. And what happens if you have some kind of incident and they try to use it as a justification to take people's guns away? We're not going to let that happen in Texas.
It's not going to happen in West Texas, I can assure you.
No.
Well, let me, since we're on that topic, essentially you and I have just discussed the 10th Amendment, and that is nullification, keeping the federal government out of the business of the people of Texas. What is your position as governor on the 10th Amendment?
I've got a book called Bringing America Home, and it has a chapter called A Return to Constitutional Principles, and in that book I talk about the principle of federalism, and it's reflected in the 10th Amendment. Power is not expressly delegated to the federal government or reserved to the states and the people, respectively. It's become the forgotten amendment. It needs to be rediscovered. Wherever possible, power needs to be at the level closest to the people. And I just think that the central issue of our time is the growing concentration of power in Washington, D.C., and it takes more and more of our rights away from us, and we've got to reverse that. And we really haven't done it in a long time. It's nice to have the rhetoric where we've got to start putting the left on the defensive and start do a better job of framing the debate.
And I'll tell you what, the best way to do it is to tell the truth. Because the opposition cannot stand up to the truth, Mr. Falcon. I've had a lot of success when I'm discussing issues such as Second Amendment, Tenth Amendment with liberals, and they just cannot hold up in a debate when you use the truth and the facts against them. So,
You're absolutely right.
Now, I didn't realize that you had been an author of a book, Bringing America Home. So,
Bringing America Home. It really is what happened in the post-Reagan period of American politics. How did America lose its way, and how can we find our way back? And that that is critical. I mean, I've been very fortunate in my life, but what I worry about is the future for our children and grandchildren. And I think the people are ahead of a lot of these career politicians and sensing the seriousness of the moment, and that we're slowly losing our country, but it's reversible. And that's why I'm so encouraged as I get around the state and meet with grassroots conservatives, people that are worried about their country and want Texas to lead the way. And I just think that unfortunately what's happened in recent years, and it's even on our Republican side, is the power of big money and special interest, and you get career politicians, they want to move up the ladder, and they've got a ton of money, or they can raise it from the special interest. Well, who speaks for the average person out there? Who speaks for the people that are just, they don't have lobbyists in Austin or Washington. They're not looking for special privileges or loopholes in the law. They just want government to be the servant of the people and not the master. And we've gotten away from that with this sort of elitist Austin insider big money folks. It's like saying, oh, I got $25 million, don't dare run against me. I mean, well, that's not conservatism.
Absolutely not.
And it's just like this crazy subsidization of these toll roads with foreign interests, which I'm opposed to. I mean, my gosh, I don't have an objection to public-private toll roads, but let them pay for themselves, not put it on the Texas taxpayers and have us subsidized.
I can tell you that you have just spoken two very nasty words out here in West Texas. Toll roads is a bad word out here, and so is taxes to pay for it. That is really appalling.
And my opponent, Greg Abbott, has rubber stamped all this stuff. We're going to go to free roads. More free roads, fewer toll roads.
Now, that appeals to the West Texas folks out here. I hear music in the background, so I'm going to invite callers to call in after this break. 770-5790 if you would like to ask Tom Polkin a question about his candidacy for governor of the state of Texas. We'll be right back. Back from the break, this is Isidro Gutierrez. And wow, I'll tell you what, talk about some great bumper music. Thank you, Ariel. Ariel was just made me realize that the toll and road are four-letter words. And so is tax to pay for it. Those are three-letter words. Boy, Mr. Falcon, I'm going to tell you that there's about four people waiting on the telephone to ask you questions. So we're going to go right to Steve, who's holding on. And go ahead, Steve. Do you have a question for a candidate for governor of the state of Texas, Mr. Tom Falcon?
Hi, Isidro, Mr. Falcon. I have two questions if we have time. My first one is, what impact, if any, do you see HB 5 having on homeschoolers? And my second question, if you have time, is do you support open carry in the state of Texas, and will you support any legislation for it?
All righty, two questions. Go ahead, Mr. Falcon.
Two questions. HB 5, I don't see having any – it doesn't have any negative impact on homeschoolers. In fact, we homeschool one of our children ourselves, but it will help. I would like to see opportunities for other people who homeschool to be able to take vocational and technical courses. That's not included in this bill, but if there's a way to work it out with the public school system, I'm sure open to that. I know some of the charter schools participate in vocational and technical training, and that's but HB 5, to specifically answer your question, it doesn't have any impact, I think, either positive or negative on the homeschool movement. As to the second question, I'm for campus carry. I'm really not positive on open carry. I hear mixed views from my Second Amendment friends. I would sign it as governor if it did pass legislatively.
All right, Steve, I want to thank you. We've got several people online. Thank you for those great questions. School choice is big out here in West Texas. We want school choice out here. Michael is on the line. Michael, good afternoon. Welcome. Tom Falcon's on the line for you.
I'm Tom's biggest cheerleader. I've known him for many, many years, and he really practices what he preaches, unlike a lot of people that know what we want to hear during election.
Great. Do you have a question for Tom? Oh, I think we just lost Michael. Let's go ahead and go on to the next phone call then. I'm sorry, Michael's phone went out on us. So the next caller on the line is Frank. Frank, welcome. Tom is here for you. Go ahead.
Tom, this is Frank Gutierrez. Visited with you last week, and we had a good conversation.
When
you served in Vietnam and what your mission was over there.
Right.
And also want to thank you for having served during that war. And we certainly do appreciate you. And I know that veterans will benefit from you being governor, the next governor of Texas. And I certainly wanted you to know that. I appreciate you, Tom, and welcome home.
Well, thank you very much, and appreciate your service as well, Frank.
Tom, you were a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
No, I rode on a lot of helicopters.
Oh, okay, you rode on them. Well, it's just as bad.
I was what my friends call an oxymoron. I was an Army intelligence officer in Vietnam, but I was in the Delta most of my tour on the Cambodian border, working as a province intelligence officer, and I traveled throughout the Delta a lot on those helicopters and a lot on Air America planes.
Very good. Well, we've got some more callers on the line here. We're going to go on to the next caller, but in a minute.
Could I just mention one thing very quickly?
Go ahead,
one of the things we did when I was in the Reagan administration, with all the negative attacks on our Vietnam veterans when we came home, we set up the Vietnam Veterans Leadership Program run by Vietnam veterans to help our fellow veterans. It succeeded. We sunsetted that program. I did something similar run by Iraqi and Afghan veterans here in Texas when I was chairman of the Workforce Commission. It's called the Texas Veterans Leadership Program, designed to help returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan make a successful transition to civilian life. And just like Texas is the number one state for business, we need to be the number one state in the nation for our veterans who have answered our country's call during very difficult times.
Mr. Falcon, I don't need to say this, but I know that you agree with me when you say we will not forget our veterans. We will honor our veterans. Because I can see that you've done this with your Texas Veterans Leadership Program. All righty, we've got Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to the Did You Know Show, and Tom is waiting for your question.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Gutierrez. Tom, I've got a question for you, and the reason I'm asking this is because this has been something that's affected friends and family of mine personally. And I know what your opponent's stand is on it, and it is a horrible stand, in my opinion. As you're probably aware, several years ago when the budget crisis kind of hit the state, certain programs coming out of TDCJ were cut, including Project Rio, which, as you know, was the between TDCJ and the Workforce Commission to try to help ex-offenders find work upon release. As you're well aware now, this program is dead. It does not exist, and there are absolutely no state services or agencies that are willing to help ex-offenders now try to find work. Now, the question I have for you is kind of a two-parter. The first part is, as governor, would you try to sponsor or get legislation introduced that would bring programs like this back? And second of all, would you support a program similar to what Illinois has, where certain types of offenders can actually have somewhat of an order of a non-disclosure where just a plain Jane company does a background check, they don't see it, but it's still available, obviously, for security-sensitive positions, law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'd have to know more about the Illinois law. I am a big supporter of the idea of people who are in prisons being given vocational and technical training and encouraged to get assistance to get back into the workplace, because otherwise there's a tendency to, you know, get back into the, you know, if you can't get a job, then what do you do? And so I'm supportive of that conceptually. I don't know about, I don't like to comment and pop off on something I'm not familiar with. I'm just not familiar with it.
Now, would you also be in favor of possible, because I know that some of the vocations that, and like I said, I know from personal experience from family and friends, that the vocations that they teach in the Texas prison system, some of them you cannot be licensed for if you're an ex-offender, which I always thought was kind of funny. Would you be in favor of, you know, trying to find ways around that where these people could get provisional licensing or some sort of licensing, because there's quite a few trades that you cannot be licensed, that you cannot get the licenses for it?
Well, I think you ought to work through that. I mean, I think there, and I'm, again, I'm not as familiar with that, obviously, as you are, and I need to know the specifics. But, you know, my goal would be to try to, you know, take people and get their lives turned around and in prison. I think there are two ways that that happens. One is, frankly, a change in faith, a belief in God, or an understanding of the importance of God in your life. And secondly, you've got to give something, somebody, something that they can use to get a job when they get out. Too many of the kids who, and this is why I've been a big promoter of vocational education in high schools, we're losing so many kids who wind up being dropouts or throwaways and get into gangs or drugs and wind up in prison. And if they'd been given an opportunity for skilled trade at an early age, they'd have something that they can take with them and get a good paying job, because there's such a shortage of skilled workers. So I'm open to looking at that, but I mean, there are some, you know, good reasons why certain licenses, you've got to be very careful of who gets them.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I want to thank you for your call. We've got a break coming up, and we've got two more callers on the line. Mr. Paulkin, when we get back from the break, I would like you to give your website and your to our listeners. And listeners, get your pencil and paper ready. We'll be right back after this break. Alrighty, we're back with that great bumper music by Ariel. I think that she's got a great sense of what really gets the blood going out here at West Texas. This is the Did You Know Show, KFYO, reaching all of West Texas. And we are visiting today with Tom Paulkin, Republican candidate for governor of the state of Texas. And I think that we are all pretty well convinced that the person who wins the Republican primary will probably go on to be our governor when swearing-in time comes around. So, Mr. Paulkin, I would like you to tell our listeners your webpage before we go on to the next caller who is on hold.
Okay, it's TomPaulkinForTexas.com, and they can also go on to the Tom on Facebook to Tom Paulkin and Twitter and follow me there, or go on to Facebook and punch like, and love to have you. We try to talk about the issues and keep people up to date as to what's going on in the campaign and respond to people's questions about various issues.
Very good. And out here in West Texas, common sense is that big trait that everybody has, and we love common sense. All right. We've got Michael on the line. And, Michael, if you tried not to hang up on us this time.
Well, I don't know that I did. I don't know what happened.
We apologize to all our listeners.
I just wanted to vouch for his conservative credentials. We've been allies when he was crusading against the Robin Hood plans, and he chaired a tax reform committee that went all around the state listening to the public's comments, and he's also, I think, quite a bit of a contrast to a lot of the folks in Austin and even here in Lubbock in believing in really free enterprise with low taxes and less regulations instead of crony handouts. So
already,
I just wanted him to kind of get into some of the contrast without it's not meant to be negative, but just where you feel like you have better credentials on all of this.
Well, I'll give you one example where Greg Abbott and I have, well, two examples where we're 180 degrees apart. I led the fight against this redistributionist Robin Hood tax scheme, which takes $1.1 billion from 374 districts, ships it elsewhere. It's taking away local property taxes. There's a better way to fund the property poor districts than taking it away from some people, leveling people down, if you will. I'm in favor of an alternative to that, and I also believe it's unconstitutional. We have a statewide prohibition against a statewide poverty tax, and it's that's what this is. I'll get rid of it. Greg Abbott defends it as legal and constitutional. We couldn't be farther apart. He's been involved in this cancer fund mess where $3 billion are being given out, and there are a lot of questionable grants. He's been on the board of directors, never attended the meeting. In the 3 years he's been there, and he's gotten over $4 million from people in contributions from entities that have benefited from these cancer grants. And, I mean, there's just too much of this. I call it picking winners and losers. The Emerging Technology Fund, $50 million, which he's okayed and rubber-stamped. I get rid of it day one, and I take that $50 million and apply it to border security. I don't have a lot of confidence in Janet Napolitano and Homeland Security. We've got to protect our own borders, and we've also got to address the problem of drug cartels that are in our state and develop a sophisticated intelligence operation to identify them and neutralize them.
All righty. Well, out here,
wonderful. That's why I'm a fan.
Yeah, out here in West Texas, when we hear stuff about $3 billion in grants and $4 million back in contributions, we say that that does not pass the smell test. So that's
We have too much of that locally. We sure don't need it in Austin that's why I've been a fan a long time. Good luck.
Thank you. I've called on Greg Abbott. Donations back. I mean, he's gotten over $4 million from these folks. Give the money back. I mean, this is inappropriate.
Mr. Falcon, we're going to go on to one more break. We'll be right back. We've got one more caller on the line, so we'll be right back after a break. This is Isidro Gutierrez with the Did You Know Show, and we're having a great conservative conversation with a conservative candidate, Tom Falcon, as Republican candidate for governor of the state of Texas. I want to apologize for the callers that we were not able to take today. We had so many calls. This is our last segment, and so I apologize to you. Mr. Falcon, we have a lot of problems nationally, internationally. We got border problems. We don't want Mexico's problems in Texas. Of course, we're compassionate people. You know, we want everyone to have opportunities. Out here in West Texas, we are charitable. We want prosperity. And tell us what, as governor of the state of Texas, Mr. Falcon, specifically on border control, what do you want to do to make Texas safe from those elements that are coming across the border that are harmful to the people of Texas?
Well, great question, and my opponent's been Attorney General for 10 years, done nothing about border security. As I said earlier, I don't have any confidence in the outgoing head of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, and that organization to protect Texas's borders. Technology is available. I will bring together an experienced team of people who are very knowledgeable about border security. There is technology available which allows us to be able to identify people well before they attempt to cross the border. There's a lot that can be done that's not being done now. I'll also put in place an intelligence unit to address the problem of the drug cartels and the criminal gangs. There's so much money involved there. You've got to make sure it's incorruptible, but you've got to get experienced people. They're out there. There are people across the state of Texas, as I've been in this campaign, amazing amount of experience, and they're willing to come forward and address the issue. That will be one of the first efforts that I'll put in place after the election and during the transition team, is bring a group of people together and plan how we can protect our borders and address this issue. This is being neglected by the current administration. This is my problem with the opponent. He gives great talks about he's opposing Obama on this or that, but he has an opportunity to do some things here in Texas, and he hasn't done a thing in the last 10 years in addressing this issue.
Wonderful.
I will address it.
I want to tell you that when you say first thing, we want you to do that. We want you to do this as a top priority item to secure the border. We cannot have porous borders and remain a prosperous state and keep our people safe, essentially. There's just too much violence just on the other side of the river. And we want our people to be prosperous. We want them to be safe. We want them to live and be able to realize the American dream. And we cannot do it with a porous border. And so I appreciate you saying this is the first thing you're going to be doing. Give us your webpage one more time. We're about to go off the air here in just a minute, and we want people to be able to contact you.
All right. It's TomPaulkinForTexas.com, TomPaulkinForTexas.com, and it's P-A-U-K-E-N. And also, they can go on Facebook and look for me on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Very good. And I want to tell all our listeners that this is will be a podcast. It's being recorded, and it'll be on the webpage. And so you will be able to go back to it as often as you like and listen to Mr. Falcon's and our here at the station conservative conversation with this candidate for as Republican for governor of the state of Texas. I want to wish you a lot of luck, and I just want you to say one more time, voters, vote for me. Go ahead, Mr. Falcon.
Okay, I need your support. Texas needs to lead this nation and get it back on the right track, and I will work with the grassroots people on building the kind of team necessary to take our country back.
We will be back next Sunday with a Did You Know show right here on KFYO. Thank you all very much. See you in 1 week.